Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The national insiders think the Steelers are going to throw us a draft curveball. So let me tell you what I mean by that. Donnie touched on this with his mock of the day back in the 3 o'clock hour. 2 days in a row, two of the information merchants, Peter Schrager and Jonathan Jones. Jones is CBS's top insider. He's their version of Jay Glazer. And Schrager is on NFL Network. And actually, I believe this is right. His mock draft last year among people that you would know, so like the 20 recognizable names, was the second most accurate behind Peter King.
How about Peter King going out with a bang in his final year?
So he
flexing on him.
And like he seems to be, for whatever reason, he's a guy that people like talking to.
No, listen, I'll say this quickly. There's an article about him in The Athletic Bruce Feldman did about basically his rise. And it actually paints him as like a guy who hustled and did a very good job. And yes, has that skill. He would meet like Sean McVay and have a beer and then would hit it off. So yeah, Schrager's a good BSer. And that's a very good skill to have when you're trying to meet people.
Right. And so both of these guys in the last 24 hours have mocked Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver from LSU, to the Steelers. I think everyone in Pittsburgh thinks the Steelers will take a wide receiver. But very few of us think they'll take one there, unless Odunze were to drop, unless Donnie had a guy ask him if Malik Nabers was going to be there at 20. You know, unless some kind of Randy Moss scenario happens.
Does somebody, amputate one of Malik Nabers' legs?
Malik Nabers, even if he had a bong mask like Tunsil on draft night, no one cares about that stuff anymore because it's legal just about everywhere. Like in New York City, my God, you walk around and it smells like urine and weed.
So minus the urine, it smells like your mom's
house. Like you're in a snow. It's like you're in a, like you're in one of those snow globes. You're
full
in this. You're in this little world, and you're just breathing in a Yankee candle of pee and weed.
What color would that candle be? Like the color of pea soup.
Stella had peas for the first time yesterday.
How'd that go?
She liked them.
Lennox.
She never did baby food. We just like.
Yeah, we jumped. You jumped right to regular food,
yeah.
Right? Baby. It's called baby led weaning. It's good. We did it with both the boys.
She had blueberries, egg, and strawberries.
Here's why you're going to love this. I think it improves their ability to chew way earlier, so you're going to feel way less or way more scared at the choking. How about Lennox this morning? Six chicken sausage links. Six. Ace, four of them. Ace, two pieces of toast.
They're throwing down, man. I love it.
Dude, just hair. And then Lennox goes, and I had to be, this time I
had
to.
And they're not picky, huh?
Well, Lennox is kind of picky, but this time I had to answer Lennox in the quick affirmative. He goes, okay, Dad, I ate that. Can I have a sweet now? And I was like, buddy, this is one where I'm just.
So what you give him? M&M's?
I let him pick like a little thing, and as long as it's not outlandish, you know, go with God, pal. Brian Thomas, though, two.
So two guys go with Brian Thomas, and they're not just. They're not people that study the players. They're more getting information from around the league. I think this is a smokescreen. I don't think the Steelers will actually take Brian Thomas Jr. with the 20th pick. You know, the only issue I would have with it is something Palazzolo brought up last hour. There's just so many guys that I think can be good number two wide receivers in this draft that I wouldn't want to invest my top pick in it when you've got a center problem and an offensive tackle problem and a corner problem and all of these things. Now, if you put Thomas's tape on, he looks like Martavis Bryant. I mean, it's insane. He had 17 touchdowns last year. He gets the ball and he scores. I mean, that's
he's limited in the route tree and
well,
stuff
so is
like
Mike
that.
Wallace. He did okay for himself.
What I was gonna say is there's not the polish of a guy who's just elite route runner like Ayuk is. Like that's what Steve's take on him was in San Francisco. He's not a beneficiary of the system. He really does make things better on his own. But it's very tempting, I think, for a lot of teams to just say, wait a minute, I have Russell Wilson, who's my quarterback, who's a go-up-and-get-it guy. That's what he does, is throw it up, go get it. And
all
I
those DK Metcalf touchdowns.
Yeah, or like even Cortland Sutton did that for him
yep. In
Denver. Brian Thomas is a go-up-and-get-it guy, a run-past-you guy and a go-up-and-get-it guy. And listen, I love in a perfect world the idea that you would have some precise route runners. Deontay Johnson was a precise route runner. But having two guys who are just physically overwhelming can work. Because you can't double both guys every play, and if you do, somebody else is going to be open. And I don't care if that person is barely an NFL player at receiver, they're going to be able to make some people miss.
If we're going to get a curveball from the Steelers on draft day, mm-hmm. and it's not an offensive lineman, my prediction based on what they've done in their draft prep is it's going to be a corner and not a wide receiver. The last few years, the players they bring in on visits are a good gauge of what positions they're actually seriously searching out and vetting for the draft. Last year, their top four picks were guys that they brought in on visits. So I have the list in front of me of the 30 players that they brought in to talk to.
Yep.
They brought in four, I would say, first-round offensive tackles. They talked to Fautanu. They talked to Guyton from Oklahoma. They brought in Fuaga from Oregon State and Mims from Georgia. Four, more of any other position. They brought in two borderline or maybe three first-round centers, depending on how you view these guys, Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, and Frazier. They talked to all three big centers. So tackle and center clearly, I think, are the two
priority
top
positions. Yeah,
yes.
They're the priority positions, and I don't think any amount of smoke screening could convince anyone otherwise.
If there is a curveball.
Yes.
Cooper DeJean came here, and so did Nate Wiggins. And they went to Clemson, and they saw Wiggins pro day too.
Man,
so they did double homework on him the way that they did double homework on Mims, Chris.
I think the Wiggins thing, even with double homework, is still the hardest for me to imagine. Because the consistent knock on that player has been his lack of tackling physicality. And we know they are borderline obsessive.
Well, maybe they talked to LeVon Kirkland and he convinced them like he did with us.
Maybe. But you know they like guys who are willing to put their nose in there and be physical. And here's the other thing. Porter Jr. had to apparently have Joey Sr. talk to him and have a come to Jesus about you've got to play more physical.
Yep.
But Joey Porter Jr. was built for it, too, at, like, what, 6'2", 190?
Yep.
Problem is, he might be, like, very gung-ho about tackling at this level. He's 175.
Exactly. He's very frail.
You might get truck-sticked. And that's why, of those two, I know that they did double homework on him, but I would think DeJean would be the guy they'd be more interested in because the guy's built like a brick you-know-what house, like, to the point where people think he might be a safety at this level.
You just look at the breadcrumbs here, and the corner thing is probably something that is more likely than we've even discussed, Chris.
They're, if it was Mitchell, do you think they'd be really, if he was going to fall to them, and I don't think he will get close.
No, I don't think so either, the Toledo corner.
Because I think they like him the most. Maybe one of the Bama guys, because Tomlin obviously likes guys from Bama and Georgia, which is understandable. But I think they love Mitchell because they saw him go to the Senior Bowl and go wild in that,
and there
in
was,
that setting.
And there was the people that were down there said that Tomlin was just like
all over him, telling him to shut down
hog
receivers.
And slop, yes. Watching that.
He would put him on everybody and just – who was the receiver they were making do reps against him? I don't even remember who it was. But basically, Tomlin was just basically setting these two guys up to go against each other every time, and people said Mitchell won.
Now, I don't think Mitchell did anything at his pro day, so there was no point in going to Toledo to watch him. And they didn't bring him in for a visit.
Yep.
That could be a smokescreen by them in this new world order of doing things. He's nearby. Maybe they did something kind of low-key with him. Then again, I think he's just one of those guys that they probably were like, is he really realistically going to be there at 20? No. So let's...
How worth our time is this?
Exactly.
Like, due diligence is nice, but we're not going to spend a serious amount of time.
The only guy I would say from looking at this list who you would look at. So I have a, let me go through this, actually. So here are the first-round graded players in total that they met with.
Okay.
Mitchell from Texas, and he's borderline, the wide receiver.
I've read stuff about him, and you never know if it's disinformation season that, like, makes me leery about picking him, by the way.
Well, he gets compared to George Pickens, and you love George Pickens.
I know, but, like, more, like, uncoachable at times, essentially. And
more George Pickens.
I understand that, but one George Pickens, fine. You make the whole receiver room out of George Pickens, might not be fine.
But
anyway.
That's like a Tomlin dream. I think Tomlin, give me the guy and I'll coach him and I'll figure it out and I'll make him better and I'll get his head screwed on straight.
Did all of Mike Tomlin's rah-rah stuff mean for George Pickens until Mike Tomlin finally went with the quarterback that got George Pickens the ball? Very little. Bupkis.
But he made excuses for him the entire time.
Yes, that would be very enervating to me.
What's that?
Enervating.
Donnie, do you know what that word means?
Sorry, I was cutting something. What do we have here?
Enervating. Do you know what the word enervating means? Enervating.
Oh, of course I do.
What's that?
No, I don't know what it means.
What if he just said the act of enervating?
See what I mean?
To enervate.
You've got to run every word you use on the air through the Donnie football filter. Does Donnie know what the word is? And if he doesn't, then just keep it in your back pocket.
Oh, that's going to make him way too limited.
No, it's not.
Are you saying all I've got in my bag of tricks is big words?
No, I'm saying you will use several words that I won't know what they mean.
I think you're selling yourself short.
Pony, what does enervating mean?
Let me think of the synonym to
enervate.
Aggravating would be the word that I would come up
more
with.
More like it's more a word that I would say is very draining. Like you're drained of energy. Yeah. Like I just wouldn't have the energy to keep going back to Mike Tomlin excuse making for his receivers.
All right, so one first. So that's a borderline first round guy.
Okay.
Barton.
Yep.
Fautanu.
Yep.
Guyton. Fuaga. Mims. DeJean. Wiggins. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 guys they brought in. So about a third of their visits were guys who they had projected
first-round
picks. And the best one from that group, I would say, is Fuaga. When they brought him here, though, he wasn't being talked about like he could be a top 10 or top 15 pick like he is now.
Correct. When they brought him here, I think there was more of an expectation that he would.
So they brought in all guys that they could realistically draft, Chris.
Correct.
Is what I'm saying. The other thing. I said first-round curveball could be corner. How about second- or third-round curveball? The last couple of days of their visits, Peyton Wilson, inside linebacker, North Carolina State, Junior Colson, inside linebacker, Michigan. Consensus, if you look at it, second-ranked and third-ranked inside linebackers in the draft. We have Fittipaldo on coming on in 10 minutes. I will ask him that. Because that got slipped in under the radar at the very end of things. They talked to two guys who are thought of as every down inside linebackers and are like at the top, other than the kid from Texas A&M.
What'd you call him the first time? Edgerin?
Yes.
Yeah, Edgerin Cooper.
Cooper.
Who's
Cooper.
The clear cream of that particular crop.
But those guys are right below him,
Chris. Let me ask you something.
After the Queen signing and Roberts still being on your roster.
Let me ask you.
But they never looked at Roberts as a three-down linebacker when they signed him. Remember that.
Let me ask you a hypothetical. Do you think that you have to have a guy who's a three-down guy and then a thumper in the other position, or a pair of three-down guys is better? Like, because there are some.
It's easier with 2 3-down guys, but I don't think the position is so valuable that you have to do that. I'd rather do it.
Here's the other thing.
Platoon there.
In this division, given 2 of the 3 teams you're going to go against and what their stated philosophies are, do you even want a pair of 3-down guys? This actually might be one of the few divisions in football where you'd be willing to risk it with like an obvious thumper, because the Browns and the Ravens are going to try to run the ball right at you. And the Bengals still might try to do that too.
Also, if you look at the wide receivers here, so Mitchell has a late first, early second round grade. They talked to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wide receivers. 3 of them, I think, are – there's a clear, I think, trend here. Corley from Western Kentucky.
Yep.
Leggett from South Carolina. Yep. Pearsall from Florida. Now, those guys, stylistically – are not all the same. But they're all guys, I think, who they would take with the third-round pick, with their third-round pick.
I would agree, although Pearsall doesn't seem like he's going to last that long.
I don't think so either.
Corley or Leggett, and I think with that it's, do you want to try to get Debo Jr. in Corley? Because that's what everyone, the Yak King, I believe, Pony?
Yes.
That's what the kid
who was a sports director in Kentucky who was already drinking bourbon and had a full-time job at 21 years old told us.
Leggett, when I think of him, though, now I'm going to say a name, even though I don't think it's fair. It's just for whatever reason he calls to mind this guy. Sammy Coates, without hopefully the drops issues, he's not overwhelmingly tall, but he's like a physically dominant player. Like the traits for him you would think are very off the charts. Like, which you'd love it, traits-wise. And so I think that's the kind of guy they feel like they can mold a little bit. Big-time athlete. Maybe the polish isn't quite there, but it's good enough that you feel like he's going to be a significant contributor at the very worst, like halfway through his first year.
So I'm going to give you something right now. Based on all the information we have,
yes,
I'm going to predict for you, using all of this stuff, their top four picks came from visits last year. I'm going to predict for you right now who I think their top four picks will be in this draft,
okay,
based on that info.
Okay.
I think Mims will be the first-round pick with pick 20, much to your delight. I think the second-round pick is going to be Charlie's next to me. I think it's going to be Max Melton from Rutgers.
The State University of New Jersey.
He's a corner. I think the third round pick is going to be Corley from Western Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think their second third round pick, the pick they got from the Eagles, is going to be, I think it's going to be
another dog. I think I know what at least one of the names you're thinking about here.
Who?
Van Pran.
No, he didn't come here for a visit.
I know, but they went down to Georgia.
They did go down to Georgia.
I'm just wondering, you've got a tackle, a corner, and a wideout. I'm assuming you're going to try to find a center somewhere.
I think Norzad might be the center, so I'm saving him for day three.
Have I sold you on that one suddenly? Big Hunter Norzad.
Here's what I'm torn on. Do I take a defensive tackle here with the fourth pick? I think I will. So who would be there late in the third round? Donnie, who's got a better chance of being there at the end of the third round, Smith from LSU or Fisk from Florida State?
I would say Smith.
Smith.
And I know
for
a fact he came in here.
He did.
Fisk
so those
seems
are my
like
top
the,
four.
I don't want to say like the darling, but you know that he shines.
He
at the
seems
combine
like he's
and,
rising, man.
Yeah, he's going to get picked too early.
Mason Smith has a second, third-round grade, so if you're picking him at 98, I think you're probably getting value
there. I mean, if
they
take Mims and then they can't strike a deal to move up, I can see them doing something like that. And then Norzad from Penn State is the fourth-round pick at center early on day three, and you start with Herbig and you see if Norzad can eventually beat him out for the job, which is not ideal.
But
I can see them doing that.
But Norzad as a six-year player could be a lot closer to doing that than others could be. By the way, on the Brugler board, Smith rated ahead of Fisk.
Interesting.
Sixth on his board, then seventh for
Fisk. Well, Fisk is a workout freak. We went over him.
He's a mamula.
He's a guy that has just shot up board since
and
the Senior Bowl.
And very old. You know what? They would take Smith there. You know why? Because Fisk is 24 and Smith's 21. They love young.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.